good time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We're here at the State House. Scott Stadagan loaning us his conference room once again. We're always appreciative of the opportunity to do it. State House here on Wednesdays when I can make it. But this is my week. I'm here. I've been here all week, and we'll get one more day in tomorrow. Joining us here now here at the State House is our Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Governor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. You know, I understand that you've been down in the State House a few days. You got the State House crud.
So. The State House sniffles is what yes. I'm told, diagnosed with by the staff here.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have to spend more than about a day a week here. So.
Yeah. I you know, every now and then, duty calls, but you feel it. Like, you really, it's really a thing. And I was like, those guys are just crybabies. Just, you signed up for this, but no, this building's got some demons.
Yeah, well, this building will be gone here pretty soon, so having a new State House, it'll be nice.
Well, you won't get to be Lieutenant Governor, but anything about this building you will miss?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Anybody. Yeah, I mean, if I'm just being honest, I don't think so. You know, the mold, the mildew. Yeah, it'll be good to have a building that doesn't have a leaky roof. So
that was the only person who said there was and it was Matt Simpson talked about the tunnel and getting to go through the tunnel.
The tunnel is cool. And for those of the listeners out there, there's a tunnel that connects the State House building to the Capitol, right, underground. And it's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, that's actually a neat thing.
So he said he'd missed the tunnel, but like Garland Gudger, who does architectural antiques, so there's nothing worth redeeming and keeping from this building.
Wow, that's shocking.
That's pretty a damning indictment there.
Yeah, and this building's in rough shape. So I mean, I think up in Connie Rowe, our chief of staff's office, when we get a big rain, it leaks. So, I mean, there's some issues for sure all in this building.
Yeah, the worst I ever had felt it here, the cloakroom across the hall, they put me in one of the closets. Do the show because this room was they had to have a meeting in here and I couldn't stop coughing and I'm on the radio live. This is last year and these lawmakers are coming here trying to you know do the I'm having to hit the cough button here on the board and but there's something to that. As much as people say it's just a bunch of crime, there I can attest to this personally, there is something to whatever's going on in this building. So I'm looking forward to the new digs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you been over there at all?
Haven't had a chance. You know, I know there's some people taking tours, but I haven't had a chance yet. I mean, obviously seen it from the road, but haven't been in it. But my understanding is it's nice and can be very accessible to the public and, you know, it'd be a good facility for hopefully lawmakers to work in and then the public to come down and, you know, meet with their lawmakers during session.
I know you've been occupied with a lot of other things. Keeping up with Auburn basketball at all?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, obviously, I'm a huge Auburn fan. You know, I see your sticker on your computer, War Eagle always, so I know you are. I think my take on Auburn basketball is we have a good team but not a great team. You know, I think we're, you know, in my mind, like, you know, in the range of 25 to 35, you know. I mean, right. But it seems like against the real tough teams, we struggle a little bit more. But against everybody else, we're competitive, right? I mean, we've had a few games we got blown out. Other than that, we've been competitive, and a few things go our way or a few calls, you know. I mean,
we haven't been blown out in conference yet.
Right. Yeah. But I think all in all, I mean, I think we'll make the tournament. I think we're going to have to start winning some of these close ones. And then, you know, who knows, could make a run. I mean, we got some talent, you know, guys
that can
shoot.
You've been watching
this
long enough, and it's sort of like – the team just gets hot at a certain point in the season and then goes on a run.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how Auburn has done in the past. They would have a mediocre preseason, pre-conference, and then all of a sudden they start gelling. They start – because when I watched the first game they played this season, you could tell that they hadn't really quite figured each other out yet. I still think there's some time for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then I think, you know, this team – probably more so than in the past. I mean, we really live and die by the three and, you know, how we shoot and just move it. I mean, you know, we obviously play good defense, hard defense. And, you know, I think our new coach doing a good job. You know, I just think we, you know, losing Janai Broom, Dylan Cardwell. I mean, who would ever thought? I mean, Dylan Cardwell.
Look at Darlin Cardwell for the Sacramento
right.
Kings.
I know. I mean, so both those guys, I mean, to lose them, that's tough. I mean, and so I'm proud of what we're doing, and I think we'll continue to get better. But I also think we got to be realistic. Losing guys like that hurts. I mean, and, you know, it's so, I mean, we've got really good guards that are talented. You know, I think we'll make a run. It'll just
if Pettiford could get it together, like I'm pleasantly surprised by the impact Keyshawn Hall's had. I feel like Murphy has started to catch up and get it, you know, and a couple of those Overton of those other players. I mean, but I think Pettiford is really the key there. He's
my favorite player.
Quite where he was last season, you know?
Yeah. No, he's dynamic, exciting, and I think he'll just keep getting better and better.
He was so good off the bench, and I don't know if that was a tough transition or something, but once he gets there, if he does, then the season will turn around. I mean, it's not a bad season, but it'll get even better, I feel like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I feel good about it and love basketball. It's fun.
Sports talk here on the on the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah.
Talk 106.5.
Sports and politics is a good thing.
Tell me about this. You talking about living the lame duck dream there. What's it like here now? You just kind of presiding over the Senate and checking a few boxes? I mean, is it just winding it down? What do you have to do?
We're pushing for I think our goal's finish strong, right, first. So for us, we got a year left. Our term will end at inauguration next year. And so during session, we're trying to continue to push our military bill. I think there's 17, and I think we passed one yesterday, got maybe a few more today, a few more tomorrow. So we're going to slowly try to get those out, you know, before session. And, you know, just the goal on that, for the listeners out there, to try to, you know, help our military families, help our veterans. And that's important when you look at rankings of a state. That's important when you talk about Space Command coming to our state and why we ranked high, when you look at number two state for veterans to retire in. But, I mean, we're going to be probably north of 70 total bills we passed to help military and veterans. We've got some bills, we're working on one that's going to deal with regulations and a shot clock thing. I think Senator Elliott, I believe, has got that, and it's going to be where I think they call it the shot clock or something, where once you enter your paperwork, the shot clock starts, and where government can't just drag out permits for businesses and, you know, different things you got to get. And I think that's an interesting piece of legislation. There's a corporate recruitment bill, really a business recruitment bill we got out there that's going to, I think, help on ad valorem taxes, and then I think on the education front, you know, trying to continue the work we've done on workforce and, you know, continue to make sure that money goes to places that's going to actually help kids get trained and jobs we need. And because there's all kind of different opinions there. And now that workforce, if you think about it, like we're kind of, I mean, I think, you know, really the one pushing that on workforce, you know, a few years ago, that really wasn't a hot topic. Now everybody's talking about it, you know, which is fine. I'm good with that. But I also want to make sure that, the way Montgomery works, the way DC works, when something starts coming up, everybody tries to get at the trough and get their piece of the money. And I want to make sure that the money's going to actually train kids in a way. You know, you talk about down in Baldwin County, their workforce development center. I mean, that's amazing, right? That's the type of stuff we need to be doing and helping kids. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that as well.
Joined by Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth here on the program. My favorite topic, because it always inspires reaction, but just is the I-65 winding dream going to die with the lieutenant governor's term here? What are you going to do to keep that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Tuberville, you know, if you listen to him, I mean, he's talked about wanting to push that. I think if we had a governor right now that would prioritize that over the West Alabama corridor,
right,
and prioritize I-10 over the West Alabama corridor, prioritize the Baldwin Beach Expressway, prioritize I-565. I mean, I could go on and on, right, about, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I'm excited about is getting a new ALDOT director, right, and, because I think there is, and I mean, everybody needs to understand that. I get more complaints as lieutenant governor from businesses about Aldi and how John Cooper behaves than any other position in government, and that he's not business friendly. He doesn't work with businesses. And then I think when you look at the decisions that he's made and the fiscal point they put us in, I mean, my understanding is that 44% of our bonding capacity is gone over the next 20 years on this West Alabama. I mean, that's a big number, Jeff, 44%, right, over 20 years. And then, you know, the rest of the state, good luck. So what, I mean, basically, yeah. John Cooper's telling them.
Well, tell me something, because, I mean, I was surprised when I heard this, that this is what they were doing. We had a speaker in here last week. He said he wasn't notified about any of this, that it just sort of happened. And this is something this big. It does feel like the legislature, you know, they had the power to purse strings. Should they be in on it? Should they, I mean, maybe legally no, but, I mean, it's just good government to keep these guys in the mix. And so I think what's going to happen, I mean, there's no way this will ever happen again where you'll have this kind of system where a governor could just go do what Governor Ivey has done with the bonding on that project.
Yeah, I mean, so unless, I mean, there's got to be changes or it'll continue to happen. I mean, because right now, I mean, and that's the way it's traditionally been in the state, is the governor, you know, kind of uses ALDOT as, you know, their basically entity to go do projects, whatever they want to do. And there's not a whole lot of, yes, there's legislative oversight, but there's not a lot of power to stop projects, right? And I think you look at other states, it might be time to, you know, look at that and say, hey, do we need, you know, since legislature's funding it, and that's what we do, does there need to be some collaboration between ALDOT and the legislature on what we're funding, where we just don't burn money like we have on this project and potentially put the state in a negative position, which is what's occurred?
Yeah, because this is, you know, and so when you made your comments about this and why aren't we getting federal matching, some of the critics out there, you know, they point to, well, you know, look how slow the federal money was to coming, and they point to this bypass up in Winston County, Marion County, right there on the line around Haleyville, and it's still just, it's a dormant project. But, like, that project, the reason it was ever even a thing was because of Roger Bedford and his ability to push projects in his district and up his way. At some point, I mean, you could see the road that goes through Russellville there to the Mississippi line that Mississippi just finished. I mean, at some point there was legislative buy-in to get these road projects. At least the lawmakers did have a little bit of influence there, but it seems like we're in this different era now where it's totally the governor's purview, and the building across the street, all they get to do is sign a check.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it's changed, and I think each governor can decide whether or not, and ALDOT director, you know, can decide how they want to conduct themselves. Do they want to work collaboratively or not? But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, you know, the idea that we're not going to use federal money, like 40, 50, 60, 70% of our roads are built on federal money. I mean, that's just ignorant, right? So if that's their criticism, that's, you know, foolish. But here's the thing. This is the largest project in state's history using all state dollars with no federal money. And you got to ask yourself, does this project have the merit to have that much money attached to it? It's going to be over $1 billion project, and we're leveraging ourselves, borrowing money for the next 20 years.
Right.
I just don't think it's wise. I mean, do I think you could do the project on a 90-10 match? According to what I was told, it qualified under the Biden infrastructure plan on a 90-10 match. Okay? Let's say it was 80-20. Still, the state comes out.
Say it's 50-50.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
or even
and even if it
10-90.
Takes 2 or 3 years longer, who cares? I mean, that's not an area of any growth right now. I mean, so this is a project, you know, you'd listen to all the people there, Mayor Day, if you're listening, you know, you're talking about the future growth, not the current growth, right? And I think the thing that they've got to do is realize that, you know, be wise. And I mean, I hope there's a way Tuberville can go in, undo the bond or put this bond money somewhere else and actually draw down federal dollars. Do the project. I'm fine with that. But then, you know, undo the damage here is the bond over 20 years and 44% of our bonding capacity gone. Right, that
years.
Means I'll be 64. I'm 44 now. So before this is paid off, I'll be 64. And so the money we got coming in, we only have 56% left to do other projects in the state. So to everybody that doesn't drive on the West Alabama corridor, here's what I want you to understand. The ALDOT director has said, tough luck. We're not going to, you know, we don't care about y'all is essentially what they've done. And it's really puts the next administration, you know, which I always thought this was targeted at me, but I mean, it's really puts the next administration with Coach Tuberville in a bad spot.
Well, it puts the next three administrations.
That's right.
In a bad spot.
So, I mean, I'm not going to be quiet on this because it's not right and it needs to be fixed. I mean, the right thing for them to do is to say, hey, we're going to do this project, but we're going to now apply for federal dollars.
Let's get a break here. We'll pick it up on the other side. We're joined by Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Here on the program, this is the Jeff Flores Show at FM Talk 106.5.
As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Welcome back to the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around with us on this Wednesday. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. We'll get to some of your text here later in the program. State Senator Larry Stutz is going to be our guest at 11 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But still with us for just a few more minutes here, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Didn't mean to get you all riled up here, but the only thing I want to just we'll end this discussion about that we put such an emphasis on Alabama on having this very robust federal presence on Capitol Hill in Congress, right? Like, we want senior members. We want people who get on the right committees. So it just stands to reason, like, if we have these tools in our arsenal with this emphasis on our federal delegation, why aren't we using them more proactively? If this is the big priority, then, you know, that should have been, to me, the way we should have approached it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think, and here's the thing. I mean, like, West Alabama Corridor qualifies, right? We wouldn't even have to use much leverage there. But my gosh, we've got, you know, Coach Tuberville, Senator Britt. I mean, they are super close with Trump. You know, we're in a great spot to be able to leverage the relationships to draw down potentially even more federal dollars. And here's all I want people to realize on this. You know, is it wiser, whether you're in business, whether you're in government, is it, and especially when we're talking about roads, are we better off to spend $1.2 billion of state money and then zero federal dollars, or we draw down 80-90%, which is the way the programs work, for federal dollars on these type projects, and now we're spending $9, $10, $11 billion. Right. And so as a state, I would much rather have $11 billion in roads with, you know, $1 billion of state money and $9 billion of the feds on a 90-10 or whatever, even if it's $8 billion, right, or 80-20. And then now we've got a lot more projects because, right. You know, the thing is, we're not a rich state. We're not, right? And so we've got to be wise. And I'm just saying, I'm not trying to, you know, call out anything and just call it the way it is. But I'm just saying this is foolish and a problem. And I said it before, it'll go down as one of the worst fiscal decisions our state's done from an infrastructure standpoint and investment. And look, it's not, and all the people out there in West Alabama, I'm not against your project. I'm against your project using 100% of state dollars. And it's just not the right decision. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. But, I mean, that's the way it is. And I think everybody I've talked to, except from, you know, John Cooper, for some reason, he just triples down on it. You know, double down, triple down. And I'm just saying it's a nobody can justify, you know, doing it this way. So it's frustrating.
Last question, and we'll get you out of here on this. What's next for you? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have. When I get out, I'm going to start a group called Moving Alabama Forward, and we're going to have a policy conference. We're going to do PR. We're going to work on issues just to continue to move our state forward. I've enjoyed that. We'll get you to come to some when we get out. And
going to have regular appearances from the former lieutenant governor on the show here.
Absolutely.
Right?
Would love it. But, yeah, I'm going to stay involved, stay engaged. I want to help coach be successful. Continue to move our state forward. So the issues we've worked on, workforce development, recruiting industry, education, you know, helping businesses in our state, helping families, we're going to continue to do that and just do it from the private sector.
Well, Governor, we appreciate your time, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Always good to be on. Thank you.
All right, got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.